The message today is about as practical as it gets. The title of the message, and we've been on this series about relationships. So the message today is how to join and leave a church. That's right. That's what we're doing. How to join and leave a church. And the reason I want to talk about that is because I realize that as particularly with new believers, folks who are just coming into the body of Christ, we really don't tell you what it means to join this thing called the church. I don't know if we do a good enough job of that. And we certainly don't teach people on how to leave. We just cross our fingers and hope that it never happens, right? And so we don't ever prepare people for what that might look like. So I thought we ought to try to address that as best we can through the word today. And so I'm going to be over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That'll give you a head start if you want to go over and get to that. I'm going to turn as well and begin to express a bit of the problem that we have when we look at Scripture, because the way we see and understand church today is not the same as you would see it and it operated in the book of Acts. So we've got to try to see what was going on there and see how we apply it to ourselves. So when you see this early church, the way you got membership, can I say it that? The way you got membership into the body of Christ was really pretty simple. You just put your faith in Jesus Christ. And as soon as you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you entered into this thing called the body of Christ, the church. In fact, over in Matthew 16, you can turn if you like, but I won't be there very long. Matthew 16, verse 16, Jesus asked Peter this question. He says, "Peter, who do they say that I am?" And Peter looks at Jesus and he says, "You're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the promised one. You're the Son of the living God." And Jesus looked at Peter and he said, "Peter, on that rock I will build my church." Now, Peter's name, when Jesus changed Peter's name from Simon to Peter, Peter means rock. But I am convicted that what Jesus was saying was not that he was going to build the church on Peter himself. He was going to build it on this confession that Peter made, that you are Jesus, you are the Son of the living God. You're the promised one. And the moment that somebody puts that kind of faith into Jesus Christ, welcome to the family of God. You see, I don't have the right to keep you out of the family of God. I can't vote on that. I can't tell you that you can or can't do that. That is something left to Jesus Christ himself. But now there's a problem that happens in Acts. You see, they go from 150 people to about 3,000 and 150 people in an instant. And you're like, whoo, oh my, what do we do? And as those 3,000 people gave themselves to Jesus on that day of Pentecost, they really didn't have a concept of joining a church. Their concept was, "I'm becoming a follower of Jesus Christ." See, that's the heart of it anyway. It's that those 3,000 people were becoming part of a movement. The movement was they were becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, and that made them the church. So now, just a little explanation of what goes on here at Ember. You can't join Ember. We don't have membership. Now, I say that, and I know that many places do. In fact, most places do, and I'm not trying to convince anybody to do it differently, okay? I'm just saying how we do it here. And the way we do it here is there is no form of membership, because the very first time you walk through those glass doors that has the orange ember on there, you see, I've already been praying for you. I didn't know your name, and I might not have knew your face, but I knew that when you come in, that God had already placed in my heart that I had to start loving you as soon as you came through the door. Regardless of your circumstances or your situation, my job was to love you as soon as you came through. So my heart had already turned to you when I looked you in the eye. And so then, well, how do we know that we're on the same page and we're working toward the same cause? Shouldn't we sign up for something? And let me tell you, I've been in church all my life. The first place I went when I left home was Vacation Bible School. And I'm not lying to you. If the church was in between my house and between the hospital and my house, and they were doing vacation Bible school, so my parents thought it'd be cool, just take me and show me off. So I've literally been in church my entire life. Went to church before I went home. I consider myself an expert. And I will tell you that in however many years I am old, that I have looked at a lot of church memberships, and there are a lot of names on church memberships, and it doesn't mean a thing. Because some of them, the FBI can't find them. And so there are names on rolls, and they don't mean a thing. Here's what I look for that means something. When you move out of speaking third person to speaking first person. When you stop saying what they gonna do down at Ember, what they're up to, and you start saying what we gonna do. When that changes in you, now we've got a heart connection and we on the same page and we moving together. Now you ask, well, how long does that last? As long as that's your heart. And when your heart changes, it doesn't matter if your name is on a roll or not. It won't change anything. It is the heart connection that allows us to operate together. And so that's just my personal opinion of why we don't have one. Now let me get back to the story. So 3,000 people are saved. And at that moment, there's only competition between two sets of people. Jesus Christ and the devil. And Jesus Christ has won the battle. And the church knew it, and they were trying to defeat the enemy. He was the only competition. But that didn't last long. In fact, some people say, we just love to get back to a New Testament church. Just do it like they did in the New Testament. And I'm thinking, do you want to do it like the day they did it on Pentecost? Because things started going south about an hour after that. Have you read the whole story? Not long after Pentecost, people begin to start disagreeing over things. That's never happened, right? They started disagreeing over things about what Jesus said and how they were supposed to carry it out. And human nature is such that when we disagree, we like to divide ourselves into camps. We want to be around people. It's comfortable to be around people that think like us. And they began to divide themselves. Are you in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? They began to divide themselves. And sometimes they began to identify with certain leaders within the church. That happens too, that you have an identification with a person. So now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at verse 10 and see what Paul has to say. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For I've been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are some quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Do you see that? They began to divide themselves. And Paul is reminding him, wait a minute, who saved you? Me and Apollos didn't save you. Jesus saved you. You are one with Christ. You're identified with Him, not us. And so these divisions began to carry out. And now we got all kinds, don't we? We got Catholics and Protestants. And then under Protestants, you got denominations of all kinds and non-denominations. And then within those denominations, you have the charismatic and the non-charismatic. You got the traditional and the contemporary. In fact, we've had the contemporary so long that now the contemporary is the traditional. Just another version of it. And then you've got big churches. There are churches that are bigger than the entire county of Chester. There are 30,000 people in Chester plus. Do you realize there are churches that have more than 30,000 people that visit them every day? And there are churches that meet in people's homes that have one or two, well, not one, there has to be at least two, right? A handful of people that are gathered studying the Word, living out the Scripture together. And so there's an incredible amount of diversity in Christ. And so if you were to look at that and say, well, now which one of them is better? Before you do that, for any of you who are parents, let me ask you this question. Which one of your children's better? You're like, better? Better doesn't apply when you're talking to my kids. I love them all the same. Yeah, that's how we ought to do the body of Christ too. Instead of trying to figure out which one's better, we ought to love them. In fact, this past week I had an opportunity to have lunch with a group of pastors, and there were Presbyterians and Methodists and Baptists and whatever I am, and you know, all we're just all sitting around, and none of us were trying to figure out which one of us was better. None of us sitting around trying to figure out which one of us had the best church or the best people. We were just loving each other. And it goes back to this thing. Has Christ been divided? Nah. So when we're trying to figure out what group, what church to be a part of, let me remind you that in Christ's view, there are no rewards for churches. There will be no Ember Award when we get to heaven. Because He don't see Ember. He sees one church, and He sees you as part of it. And that's how it works, and that's never going to change, because that's His plan. And so I believe we need to carry that mindset in all we do. But because there is such diversity, then it begs the question at some point, how do I know where to go? You know, which one do I show up for? Maybe it's like one of those progressive dinners, right? Where I go to breakfast with the Methodist, lunch with the Baptist, evenings with the Presbyterians or the AME Zion. You know, do we treat it like a buffet? What do we do? And so I would say, before you ask the question, where am I supposed to go? You ought to ask this question. What exactly is the church? You see, if you ask the wrong question, you'll get the wrong answer. Did you know that? If you ask the wrong question, you will get the wrong answer. A better question than where should I go is what is the church to begin with? And I can tell you in a couple of things. You got to look at what, how, and why. And to do that, I want you to turn over, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read a few verses. Is it okay if we read out of the Bible this morning? All right, that's what we're going to do. In Ephesians 4, beginning verse 12, we're going to read down to 16. It says, before that, Paul is saying that Jesus gave gifts to the church. He gave these gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then he goes into why he gave these gifts. So now listen. He gave them for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fit and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper workings of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That's the why, but let me back up. I mentioned what. Nobody disagrees about what the church is supposed to do. There's no disagreement about that. Everybody will tell you there's a few things that we're supposed to do as a church that we've already said we are called and we've accepted Jesus Christ. He births us into this thing. There's a place for worship. Would you not agree? And in some sense, all churches worship. There is a place for teaching. And in some capacity, all churches are teaching, whether it's from the pulpit or in small groups or Sunday schools or whatever it may be. Every person is supposed to serve. You read that in Scripture, that we serve one another. We serve people outside of us. And then this fourth one, we use this word called evangelism, which is we want everybody to experience the same love and excitement about Jesus that we have. And so we go and share the good news that we've received. So nobody has an issue over what we do. We have an issue of how we do it, right? What kind of music are we supposed to play exactly, right? How are we supposed to worship? How do we go about teaching? And that's where all of sometimes the arguments come in. But honestly, the way that I want to look at it is, that's where all the uniqueness of the body comes in. What if we could look at it that way? Paul said that he'd become all things to all people so that by all means he might win some. And that we're all different. As individuals, we're all different. What if as churches, we're also all different? That we've all got a little unique calling that Jesus has on our lives. Each individual local church has this sort of unique calling. And so it doesn't divide us, but it brings us together. And then it's the why. And it's the forgotten part. Do you know why you go to church? And please don't say because your mama makes you. That sometimes has to carry us when we're younger. But it shouldn't carry you through all your life. Why do you go to church? Why are you a part of the church? Can you answer the why? Most people can only answer the what and the how. But they cannot answer the why. And the why is this. Please hear this. When you receive Jesus Christ, you do not enter as an individual. He placed you into the body called Christ's body, the church, fellow believers. And now the goal is to make you one with Jesus and look around you real quick. No, really, look around. One with those people. To make you one with them. Now that's supernatural. Because I can tell you, the world does not like being around people not like them. We like to huddle up among ourselves. And so we get a little anxious sometimes. And I think that's why in many cases, we've got races that go to church in separate places. Why? Because it's just more comfortable. It's not really that we don't like each other. It's just comfortable that way. And then sometimes we can break it down even more. And you got all the rich people go to church. Or all the poor people go to church. Or all the got it all together people go to church. I want to go to that church and see what that one's like. I really do. But here's what Jesus is doing that's supernatural. He says, I'm bringing together a people. And naturally, they don't get along. Naturally, they'd fuss and fight and feud. But I'm bringing them together under this love that's stronger than death, that's stronger than a fire that'll consume them so that they'll become a family, so that we grow up and we look more like Christ. That's why we go to church. And now if you're going to pick one, what are the things you look for? Ephesians tell us, if you're newly saved is kind of cool because really you just go wherever that person is that helped you receive Jesus Christ and you just begin to incorporate yourself into that body and it's just a real natural thing. But sometimes things happen and you have to look for church. So what are you looking for? Well, Ephesians tells us that Christ is making us one body. There's unity. And so we're looking for that connection. You remember my series I did on relationships and I told you in marriage, people don't fall in love. Nah, you choose to love. And if you want to stay in love with your sweetheart, you're going to have to choose to love every day. Every day. You can't stop. Because just as quickly as you fell into love, you'll fall out of love. If you don't choose to love. So when you go into a place and you look around, you ought to look around and see, can I open my heart to these folks? And will I choose to love them through thick or thin? And will I let them love me? That's important too. Not only are you willing to love the people that are around you, but are you willing to let them love you? Now, I don't want to get too far off track, but occasionally some of us show up to church and we're a little bit like porcupines. You might be one, you might have known one. Something happened way back and they got hurt and, you know, in our efforts to protect ourselves from being hurt, we create these little quills, these little pins to try to keep people from hurting us, right? If I can kind of bow them things up a little bit and people leave me alone and they won't hurt me. And you bring that into church sometimes and then you sit down and you go, I don't know why anybody didn't speak to me today. It's like, did you see your face? Everybody was scared to say anything to you. because you looked mean. Yeah, and we wanted to, but we were scared because we didn't know if we'd get a quill. So sometimes you have to have some people in church that are experts at hugging porcupines. Right? I've set it out as a life mission. It really is. I want to find the porcupines and just go sit down beside them and say, you know what, I love you. I don't know why you all spurred up like you are, but I'm going to love you through it. And you can stick me and I'll learn how to pull them out. And I'll come right back. So when you pick in a church, you need a place where you will love them and you'll let them love you. Some people never connect because they never let anybody love them. Never let anybody in. You can't join a church like that. You got to let people in. Doctrine and teaching. We all talk about doctrine and teaching, and we all disagree on certain things. And so I'll tell you what's going on around here. It is not important to me that we all agree. It's just not. For so long, we've divided ourselves over doctrine. That's why we got all these denominations. We just, you know, we get in these groups that agree. I can still love you and you can still love me. We can still be friends. In fact, there's a lot of theology out here. I don't know if you know it or not, but man, this place right here, y'all come from all over the place. All kind of backgrounds. We don't all have to agree to love each other. You can disagree fairly mightily over some stuff. And if you choose to, you can love one another. Now, if there are some issues and you say, this is something and I just cannot let go of this truth. There are some of those. If you said you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, you and I probably have a problem. It's probably not a good place for you. And there may be some things that you say, I just can't move on that. And if so, then that helps you know, wait a minute, this may not be the place. And that's cool, you know? Not every place is for everybody. So there's unity, and there's doctrine, and then there's values. What do the people value? I'll tell you what we value down here. We value serving our community. We value going to work every day and serving the people that we work with. We value loving people regardless of their mess. That's what we do. And if you like that, then come on and be a part of that. But if you want us to exegete the minor prophets in the Old Testament, that probably ain't going to happen around here. Now, are we going to teach people? Yes, we are. That's what this Going Deeper class is all about. It's helping us to grow, and yes, we're going to grow. But I've looked at the Scriptures. You know what? It ain't that doggone complicated. It's pretty simple. Love God and love everybody that breathes. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we value around here. Leadership. You got to decide if you can trust the leaders that you see among us. The leadership structure around here is fairly flat. If you lead in something, guess what? You're a leader. That's how we decide who's leaders around here. They're leading something. Just get in here and do the work. But you ought to see if your heart connects to the leaders. When you hear me speak, you're hearing my heart. And that lets you know, do you think you can trust me? And if you can't trust me, you probably shouldn't be here, right? You should find a leader that you should trust. Because things are happening and decisions have to be made. And you want to know that you're locked in, that you trust the leaders that are leading your church. And then the last one of this part is that you have a place where you can use your gifts. It said that what every joint supplies. And so I'll tell you that it is critical. If you want to be fulfilled in church life, you don't ever want to be a pew warmer. You hear me? You don't ever want to just show up. You want to get involved somewhere. Because it's in that getting involved that you begin to feel really fulfilled. You're like, wow, I think I made a difference today. Some of you keep the nursery and you're like, whew, that's a long time. Kevin should quit preaching so long. They should sing one last song. I'll tell you that I appreciate what you're doing for our babies. Appreciate you loving on them. Appreciate you giving our mamas an opportunity to come in and just relax for a minute and hear a message without having a baby cry. You know? And as you do those things, you realize, wait a minute, I have a part to play here. I might not preach, but you know what I do? I keep those babies down there where those mamas can hear the Word of God and they can grow. I make a difference down there. I hold the door for somebody. Amen? I hold the door for somebody and look at them with real concern and say, you know what? I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here today. So we find a place to serve. And in doing that, then some of these things that we look for don't make nearly as much sense, which is what most people do. How's the message? How's the music? And how's the programs for my kids? We got to get deeper than that. We got to grow deeper than that if we're going to mature. Now, to move on, that's how you find that place that is right for you. Then what do you do if you feel like it's time to leave? Well, there's only one good reason to leave. That's because God sent you somewhere. That's the good reason to leave. Well, it's the best one I see in Scripture. And in Acts chapter 13, the early church at Antioch, they're gathering together. They're praying. They're ministering to the Lord. They're hearing the Holy Spirit's voice. And the Holy Spirit says to them, take Paul and Barnabas and separate them and send them out into a work. And I will tell you, one of the most beautiful things is when somebody comes and says, you know what? I believe that God wants me to do this. I want you guys to pray, see if you believe that's what God is doing. And if so, I'd love to be released and go out. And I'd be like, man, yeah, that's awesome. And so the right way to do it is when God sends you, when God calls you to something. Now, let me caution you. There are sometimes we get happy feet. And often we get happy feet whenever something gets uncomfortable. You ever notice that? Where there's a little problem that arises maybe between you and somebody. Somebody might be listening on the radio or something. There's a problem that arises. And it never fails that when the problem arises, the Holy Spirit starts telling people, so they say, that it's time to move on. But the reality is, and I'll caution you for it, that a lot of people think they hear God say, move. And I got to tell you, I would just disagree with you at some points and say, you should move if God tells you to move. But if you're moving because you're uncomfortable and something happened and you're unwilling to unreconcile, you should go back and reconcile. You see, a church is this place where it exposes your weaknesses. Did you know that? Did anybody tell you that? I'm going to let you in. The church is a place where your weaknesses will be exposed. It's just like marriage. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You ever wondered why your family brings out the worst in you? Huh? You ever wonder why you'll get madder at your family than you will at anyone else? You'll say stuff to your spouse that you wouldn't dare say to your employer. Right? Why? Because you're comfortable. And in that comfort, our weaknesses are exposed. What kind of weaknesses? Our quick temper gets exposed. Our selfishness gets exposed. Our pettiness gets exposed. Our insecurities get exposed. Our need for approval gets exposed. How easily we get offended get exposed. And I was just listing my faults right there. I hadn't even talked about yours yet. Those are just mine. But the church will expose your weaknesses. And the reason for it is God is wanting to tell you. He's not wanting to shame you, not wanting to embarrass you, not wanting to make you feel guilty. Just wanting you to know, hey, you're ignoring something, and then you realize, I've got to do something about that. It's why some people will move from job to job, relationship to relationship, church to church, and they'll say, I just can't find the right people. People always do me wrong. I just want to say, at some point, you have to look and say, maybe I'm the common denominator. That's a hard word, I know. But we all have to look at ourselves at some point and say, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the one that's consistently petty and selfish and easily offended. And that what Jesus is trying to do is toughen me up so that I can mature into this person that he wants me to be. And then there are irreconcilable differences. There's some irreconcilable differences in Acts. Paul and Barnabas are wanting to go off, and Barnabas wants to take John Mark, and Paul looks at John Mark, he says, I don't want him coming. He left us before. I think he'll leave us again. We're not going with John Mark. And it says in Acts, and I love how Scripture doesn't hide this stuff from us. It says that there was such a great division among them, a tension among them, that Paul went one way and Barnabas went another. So there are times where, despite our best efforts, we cannot reconcile something. And for the peace of the body, it is best that we go in separate directions and pursue peace. That happens. The really cool thing about Paul and John Mark is that later on, Paul calls and says, bring John Mark. He's profitable for the ministry. And they reconcile. You see, we're always trying to reconcile. Regardless of what has happened in your life, hear me, we're always trying to reconcile. I heard somebody say, well, I can forgive you, but that don't mean I have to have a relationship with you. I said, that's true. But I'm thankful that Jesus forgave me because he wanted to have a relationship with me. You see, that's the model. Jesus said, I'm forgiving you so I can have a relationship with you. It's always got to be at the heart of us to maintain relationship, even if we have to go our separate way. And then there are times where there is sin. 1 Timothy chapter 5 says, if there's sin, we don't condone that. Some of the worst things that have happened in the church is when we condone sin. And people got hurt because of it. And Scripture says there is a way in which we address sin. And again, I will say to you, the heart of it is not exposure, but restoration. Did you hear me? The heart of finding someone in sin is not to expose that sin, but to restore that person from it. That is why Jesus is called Redeemer. Because he redeems situations. He's not called the exposer. He's called the Redeemer. For a reason. So we ought to make every effort to reconcile. Some parting words for me and some things that I believe relate to us being a part of a church and leaving well. Whoever's hearing this, wherever it goes, please hear me when I say this. Do not leave without saying something. That's what every pastor wants you to know. Anybody that's hearing me on the radio, that's what every pastor wants you to know. Don't leave without saying something. There's 200 plus people just here at Ember. And this is a small church. 100 and something people that show up every Sunday. That means that another 100 didn't show up. How you think as your pastors around here, me and your small group, how are we supposed to know why you're not here? Is it because you're on vacation? Because you got sick? Or because you didn't like something I preached this morning? How are we supposed to know? And then how are we supposed to come get you? Unless we're involved in a conversation where we know what's going on, where you say, this is happening, I'm struggling, I don't even feel like waking up in the morning. And we say, I understand. Let us come alongside of you and love you. Don't hide that stuff and go away into your dark place. If there's a problem within the church, let's work it out. Let's talk about it. Let's don't just leave and walk away. And then this one, don't talk about the church that you left. Don't talk about the church you left. I saw something where somebody was leaving and they were making it very vocal, not here, but it could happen here. But they were leaving a church and man, they were ripping and tearing on their way out. And they were talking it up. And I would tell whoever is listening, when you leave, if you're going to, just leave at peace. And don't talk bad about the place that you left. And then this is what happened. A bunch of people were getting on board and they're saying, well, you should come to our church. Come on over here. We love everybody. And I just want, this is just for Ember. So if you're listening on the radio or whatever, this is not for you. This is just for Ember. Ember, say, I'm listening. If somebody's ripping and tearing at their church and they're talking bad about them, don't invite them here. Okay? I'm going to say that one more time, okay? Because I don't need y'all to miss this, okay? If they talking junk about another church, don't invite them here. Because in 6 months, they going to be talking junk about us. That's how it works. Now, don't just ignore them. Give them a copy of my message today. So they can do it the right way. And they can preserve unity. So you see, it's actually not about how you join and how you leave. It's about why you started in the first place. That you knew why you got started. That you were joining something that wasn't perfect to begin with, but was being made perfect by those who would love one another and forgive one another and speak honestly with one another and would let each other know where they were in the process so that we could all come to a maturity in Christ and a maturity with each other.